Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Crazy Old Man in His Own Attic, episode 62.
What day? How many days?
Got that, Wilbon? 62. Well, I didn't say 62 days. I said episode 62.
Episode.
All right, we're going to start with baseball. We're going to start with Tom Glavine. Tom Glavine, who was himself a player rep at one point, he told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that if he could give any advice to the players right now as they struggle with whether or not they want to accept this deal from the owners, the 50-50 split, he would say, I want to get this right. Even if the players are 100% justified in what they think, if they don't play this year, they will be blamed. Not owners, players. Wilbon, do you agree with Tom Glavine?
Of course I do. It was the first thing I said when we got this topic last week, when this subject was out there, that money might prevent the two sides from getting together and getting their butts on the field. And I said, look, I'm not taking a side. I don't care. What I said was baseball has to get itself together or fans will hold it against the entire sport, even more so than 1994. And it took 4 years to get over that, Tony. It took that magical, though, that we now know tainted summer of 98 before the home run chase, before people would sort of let it go and say, all right, I love baseball. I'll go back. 4 years. I think this, Tony, if it plays out the way it has so far, with money being the primary issue at a time where so many people have lost their jobs and unemployment is higher than it's ever been since the Great Depression, I think people are going to be less forgiving, if forgiving at all. I do.
So Glavine is one voice. I remember talking about this a little over a week ago. Mark Teixeira said essentially the same thing. Mark Teixeira said, look, these are special circumstances. This is a one-year deal. You've got to take the deal this time. You got to make sure that it's only this 1 year, but you take it. People are hungry for sports. They want sports. They will hold you accountable. I would add that you go to the owners and you say, you have to write this down for us, that it's only this 1 year and it's never going to come up again. But I agree with this. And I'll say one other thing about Blake Snell, because he's become the face of greed, I think, for baseball. A lot of people that are our friends, our friend David in California, said that Blake Snell may have been inarticulate in what he said and chose the wrong words, but he was essentially right. He was right that they had a deal and that the owners have tried to relitigate the deal in the last few weeks. But even with that, Mike, even with that, millions
people
of people
out
of work. They don't.
They don't want to hear about, I don't want to play for $3.5 million. I need my seven. When the restaurant business in the United States of America, actually the world, but in the United States of America could go away as we have known it. They don't want to hear that a dude can't play for $3.5 million. He says, I need mine. No one wants to hear that. And somebody should have been in Blake Snell's ear saying, Hey, get outside of your own stupid little personal bubble. Watch some news. Get off of social media. Pay attention to the world. And you know, your boy Bryce Harper has come pretty close to this, too. So all these guys, yes, yep. Teixeira is a voice of reason. Yes, Glavine is saying, listen to me. I've been in your position in a strong union as a leader. Listen up. Will they? I don't know. One of the rules when and if baseball returns, Tony, will be that players are banned from spitting. Yeah, right. Giants manager Gabe Kapler was on KNBR radio in San Francisco and says it will be, quote, a tremendous challenge, close quote, to stop spitting. Tone, do you agree it will be a tremendous challenge?
Let me list things that I believe have been a tremendous challenge. Putting a space capsule on the moon was a tremendous challenge. Building the Panama Canal was a tremendous challenge. Getting the polio vaccine was a tremendous challenge. This is not a tremendous challenge. I understand that Gabe Kapler, I understand he puts a big wad of gum in his mouth, and for the first few innings, he spits out the gum juice. And then he goes to sunflower seeds, and he spits out the sunflower seeds. I get that. I think it'll be a habit that he's going to have to break. And I know that he's going to work real hard. I think he's man enough to change the habit and not spit for 3 hours.
We're going to disagree as much as we ever have in the 19 and a half year history of PTI. It is a challenge that is as great as saying to baseball players, don't breathe. All right. Don't take in oxygen. They're going to spit. It's not going to happen that they're not going to spit. They're not going to meet this tremendous challenge. They're going to spit. They're going to scratch and spit, and you know it. Now, they may say to themselves, oh, my God, I shouldn't have done that because the camera's on me, and I shouldn't do that, and I shouldn't scratch either. What are you, nuts? They can't stop spitting. They may not have sunflower seeds. They may not be given big wads of gum and make chaw. They're going to spit, and I will bet you any amount of money you want to bet in all of your 6 or 7 homes that there will be spitting in baseball. Are you nuts?
So let's go over this again. Let's return to this theme. There are at the moment 90,000 people and counting who have died from coronavirus. There are millions of people out of work. And this guy is calling it a tremendous challenge to not spit. Let's not make this into Greek tragedy, okay? Let's just take two and hit to right on this. Change your habits for the good of everybody. People want to see baseball. If you spit, don't spit publicly, Mike. I think it's possible to not spit. In the same way that if there was a sign in front of the Supreme Court that said, while we're hearing your case, please don't spit, I think people would be able to do it.
You know what they do? They look at the sign in Washington in the Supreme Court a few miles from where you sit and go, what? You've watched baseball all of your life.
Oh, Mike.
What?
Mike.
They're going to play?
In the words of
they're
Tom Hanks, there's no crying in baseball, and there can be no spitting in baseball. We move on to a friend of yours, Horace Grant, who won 3 championships with the Chicago Bulls, with Michael Jordan.
Yes, he did.
He went on radio in Chicago. He slammed Jordan for what he saw in the documentary. Grant said it's a downright lie that he leaked stories to Sam Smith, our friend Sam Smith, for the great book, The Jordan Rules. Grant said Jordan will destroy your character if you say anything bad against him. Grant took offense to Jordan calling him a snitch, and he called Jordan a snitch. This is difficult for you because you love both people. Is Horace Grant justified in what he says, his criticisms of Michael Jordan?
You know how to turn this on you. You know, Sam Smith has been on your radio show more than anybody over the years, perhaps except me. Did you get Sam to tell you who Deep Throat was? Did you get him to make that revelation on your radio show? Did you break some news?
I'm going to tell you something. Sam Smith called me last night.
Did
he? We spoke for about 10 minutes last night, Sam Smith. This did not come up by me because I was unaware that Horace Grant had gone insane. So it goes back to you. Is he justified ripping your boy Jordan?
This is the part of The Last Dance that I don't like. As you know, so many people are ripping so many people. Look, you know, there's probably a photo somewhere, and I don't know if you've seen it, but in the celebrity game, All-Star, oh yeah. Look who that is, Tony, that I'm standing next to and sending into the game. Oh yes, it's Horace Grant.
That's Ho. Yeah.
Listen. You know, I'm one of the few people, I'm the only one. I get shouted down by that iconic guy in the documentary. Anytime I say I think the 92 team was greater than the 96 team, because the 92 team had Horace Grant, and Horace Grant was a better all-around player than Dennis Rodman. And we're not going to get into that now, but I do that. So you know how much respect I have for Horace. I don't know. I'm not going to try to step in with a striped shirt between 2 world-class athletes, one of them 6'6" and one 6'9", and get in there like Mills Lane. I'm not going to do that. This is the part of the follow-up to the documentary, the After the Dance, if you will, that is just sort of unseemly to me. I don't like this part, and I'm not going to try to decide who was Sam Smith's deep throat. If you're not going to decide it, I'm not going to decide it.
So I'm going to say a couple of things here. First of all, as I said 2 weeks ago to Isaiah Thomas, don't get in a fight with Michael Jordan. It's not going to help you. I say the same thing to Horace Grant. If we've learned anything about Michael Jordan, it's that he's an assassin. All right, don't get in a fight with him. Secondly, it occurs to me that Horace Grant may feel that he isn't getting enough credit and he deserves more credit, that Pippen right. and Jordan get all the credit, and maybe he should get more. But I will say this. Pippen and Jordan were there for all six, and everybody right. else was replaced, which means that everybody else was replaceable. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. Horace Grant at this point hates Michael Jordan. That's fine. That's between them. But you're not going to win by doing it that way. And in terms of what he says, you know, I stood up to him and I would have fought him. I mean, to what end? You ended up in Orlando. Jordan's got six. You got three, right?
No, he's got four or five because he went to the Lakers and got at least one. But look, this
okay.
was out
but
there.
But he didn't have six.
No. This was out there in real time, Tony. So this doesn't come as a surprise to those of us who lived it. It was out there in real time. I never asked Horace. I never asked Mike. It was Sam Smith's book. I wasn't going to get involved in that. I didn't know who it
it's
was.
Not your book.
That's right. It was out there at the time. I hate this part of it now where everybody, it's a free-for-all where people come back. And I don't know who did or didn't appreciate Horace. I appreciated him. I thought he was tremendous on those first three teams. And so I'm sorry it's come to this. And so now I definitely want to move on.
By the way, just to speak about that one book, nobody ever denied what was in that book. Nobody ever denied it. So it was, I mean, that book was true. And by the way, when you talk about all of these people, the fallout now, I won't even get in the weeds on it today, but Scottie Pippen, according to Jackie McMullen, feels stung by how he is being perceived now. And I would suggest to you that some of that is his own doing, you know?
Yes, Jackie and I both have talked about this multiple times, multiple days on multiple shows, and people like you are part of the reason. Because every day you think it's fun to take. I said to you yesterday, get off Scottie. Did I not say that on this quality program?
Not today. I didn't do it today. Maybe later in the show, but not just now.
Certainly later in the week, and I will stand up for Scottie. I will. Now, let's end this segment.
He didn't
mercifully.
Stand up for himself. He sat on the bench.
Oh, stop. See? You couldn't even get out of the show. Let's end this segment with a little 1. What's 8. The word? It's blank, Tony, that NASCAR is back on the track tonight after just 3 days off.
It's brilliant. Unless you can tell me if somebody else is back on the track tonight, unless you can tell me that there's other live sports tonight, then it's brilliant. This is the way NASCAR works. They don't need fans for what they do. They go around and around and around. They need cars and they need drivers. So you tune up the car and you make sure you put the driver in the front seat and boom, you've got sports that people can watch. It's brilliant.
It's opportunistic for the same reasons that you mentioned. Nobody else is out there. And by the way, for people who think that, you know, somehow NASCAR drivers and crews are being abused, look, I don't know a lot of drivers. I don't talk to a lot of NASCAR drivers, but I've talked to a few in my day. And one of the things I've come to understand, and Tony, I know you talk to even fewer, but you understand this too. These guys would race every day. Sometimes they do race every day. They race four or five times a week. This is not abuse, driver abuse. This is what they do. This is what they want to do, what they opt to do. And now that they've got the stage and they've got it to themselves, there are some people like me who are not going to pay particular attention. I might pay scant attention. But this is opportunistic, Tony, don't you think?
Well, let's look at the numbers for a second because I wrote them down. The last race that they competed in a day or two ago was up 40% in viewership from the race that started the lockdown, okay, the last actual race they did. This was up 40%. It was the most watched non-Daytona 500 since 2017. 6 million viewers, a sport that basically just does this. Golf, 2.5 million viewers to watch what wasn't even a tournament, an exhibition match for television. People want live sports. If you can get in on it, get in on it.
There you have it. Before we end this segment, you're going to take a shot at Michael too for the documentary. Are you going to do that as well?
No, I've taken the shots I needed to today. I feel good about it. I do.
You feel good.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Legal pad, glasses, happies, here we go. Happy 93rd birthday, Bud Grant. That's right, 93rd. Bud Grant is known for football, but he was a member of the NBA champion Minneapolis Lakers in 1950, the Lakers of George Mikan. When Grant left the NBA, he joined the Philadelphia Eagles, where he played defensive end 1 year and wide receiver the next, ranking second in the NFL in yardage. I bring this up because Bud Grant is the only person ever to play in the NBA and the NFL. He's also the only person ever to play in the NBA, the NFL, and the CFL, where he played 4 years for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and led his conference in pass receptions 3 times. And none of that equals his coaching career, where he was 158 and 96 and 5 as coach of the Minnesota Vikings, a higher winning percentage than Andy Reid, Bill Walsh, and Tom Landry. Although Grant was 0-4 in Super Bowls, he never lost his Viking swagger. In a 2016 playoff game that had to be played at the University of Minnesota Field, Grant came out for the coin toss in shirt sleeves in -6-degree weather. Robani's tougher than Chuck Norris.
He's the toughest guy of all time, Tony. He played with George Mikan. Why doesn't some young NBA player go up to Bud Grant now at 93 and say load management? All right? Because he would have played all the games with Mikan and then all the games in another sport. Are you kidding me? Bud Grant, man. Cheer. I got to raise a glass of ginger ale to Bud Grant.
Happy anniversary, Lou Piniella and Carlton Fisk. On this day 44 years ago, with the Yankees up 1-0 in the sixth, Piniella, who was dead meat at the plate, tried to score by plowing Carlton Fisk into the ground. Fisk went after Piniella, starting an extended bench-clearing brawl. One of the casualties was Bill Spaceman Lee, who had given up 1 run in those 6 innings. After scuffling with Greg Nettles, he ended up with a broken collarbone, didn't rejoin the Red Sox rotation until September. Indeed, although Lee pitched 6 more seasons in the bigs, he never returned to form. As brawls go, this was a doozy. The game went on. The Red Sox took the 2-1 lead in the seventh. The Yankees tied it, but Carl Yastrzemski hit a homer in the eighth, and eventually the Red Sox stretched their lead to 8-2. The Yankees went on to win the pennant, but were swept in the World Series by Cincinnati's Big Red Machine. And Wilbon, had ESPN been on the air in 1976, they'd have showed this thing 100 times.
Well, they would have needed to because nobody saw it in person. How about all those empty seats? But I am so starved for baseball, even I will stay interested and awake for a Yanks Sox story I just did.
Happy trails to Clutch Sports for Alex Bregman. Now, stay with me on this. Clutch Sports is a sports talent agency owned by pals of LeBron James. They acquired a talent agency owned by Brody Schofield. One of Schofield's clients is the Astros' chesty third baseman, Alex Bregman. LeBron's media company, Uninterrupted, is preparing a documentary on the Astros' sign-stealing scandal, which led to the firing of the manager and the general manager and the public apologies of a number of players, including Bregman. Bregman found himself in the untenable position of being represented by a company that was going to remind him of his darkest hour. So he left Schofield and Clutch. Now, LeBron has publicly said, and I quote, "If someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I'd be bleeping irate," unquote. So if you're Bregman, you're probably thinking you're not going to get sympathetic treatment. Some people are saying was awfully unhappy with his blah, blah. It looks to me like Bregman felt betrayed, Mike.
Too bad. Good for Rich Paul and Maverick Carter and all the guys there for having editorial integrity. If somebody decided they're going to do this project, then Bregman, guess what? Find some other representation. Too bad. You don't want those guys to tell the truth. They're supposed to bail. They're supposed to tuck and run. I'm glad they didn't. I know those guys a little bit. I figured they wouldn't. Too bad. Happy trails.